Were you from a papermaking family?
No.
No. And were you from Tuckanee?
Yes.
So you're from a farming family?
Yes.
Oh. It's obvious, one or the other, right?
Yeah.
And what was your unmarried name?
Baston, B-A-S-T. You know, there's I-N and it's,
yeah. And did you...
Actually, can I go and say something else? Carol was a cousin of mine.
Right.
She was a Baston.
She's a Baston, too, huh?
Yeah.
And then you related some... And that's from the Cox, and then... Somehow you've got Coxes in you, or she does,
yes.
So I don't know.
I think it was her mother. Carol's mother. It is
Carol's
mother, the Coxes.
When it's So, did you work in the mill as a, after you... Did you go to school?
Yeah.
Until 14? Or
yes.
So? And then did you start working in the mill?
Not right away.
What'd you do?
I had a couple of jobs. I went, it was during the war. And I went looking after a little child at our Springton.
Oh, like Phil.
Yeah. And from there I went doing a bit of housework for the mill owner.
Mm-hmm.
And from that I came into the mill. I was into
for
the
Harrison
mill.
Then?
No, it was
Millbourne at the time.
Yeah. I came into the mill, I suppose, 16. I say that as a, you know. And I worked in the grind department for
you
quite
did.
A long time.
Now, was that considered a nice job or not a very nice job?
It wasn't a bad job. I think, if I said it's a bad job, it was the ragged.
Yeah?
They cut the ragged. And I didn't like the size of it. They had to have such a heat, and it was so steamy.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd get damp and all sorts. I didn't like that.
And did you ever help out in the rag house? Or?
No, but I had to help out in the grind house.
Yeah. Who worked in the rag house?
Oh, there was about, I can't really name it offhand, but there was about five women.
Were they from papermaking families?
No, I don't think so. A lot of them used to come from Diddisham and work from Diddisham at one time. No, I don't think they were papermaking families, not that I can recollect. But
and
they
then,
changed. They, you know, the workers changed. It's very much, you know, all work through, doesn't it?
So there wasn't very many people that stayed in the rag house for a long, long time.
So
what was that you're saying about five people in a row? I didn't quite catch
that. Well, they used to sit in a line, and they'd have about five of them. They'd have a bench each with a knife on.
Right.
And a basket beside them.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd sit at this basket. You know, I'm going this way because
right,
this would be the way. And they'd have their knife on their bench to cut the rags, and they'd cut them and put them into the basket, and the buttons, and that would go to the left. You know, on a little thing on the left. And I'd say five, six, you know, maybe I'm out a bit of this, but I'll do that. But they'd be one behind the other.
And would they be sorting them into grades?
No, because I won't say they'd sort them into grades, because they'd all be doing the same thing.
Oh, like if you got mailbags, they'd all be doing...
They'd all be doing mailbags, and therefore they, you know, and to be just what they had to cut out, they would have to come, you know, out. Whether it was quarter at the top or...
Well, you know, what they'd have to come out, cut out would come out, and then they'd throw that, set that aside.
They'd have a separate sort of bag.
What did they do with all those things they couldn't use? Who knows, huh?
No.
I see. So they wouldn't really. Somebody else would sort the rags into.
I haven't said that. I can remember seeing at home. I don't know how. A big bag of buttons.
Yeah. I was thinking there would probably be a good trade in buttons.
I can tell you now, a big bag of buttons. So I expect the buttons is all saved for a rainy day. You know, for when you needed them.
Well, if you didn't set, did your mother work in the rag house at all?
My mother did, didn't she, for a while? But she couldn't stick it because she got eczema.
Oh, a rash.
Do you remember Mother of the eczema? Yeah. Yeah, not very long, Peter.
What's that mean, a year or so, or a few months, a few weeks?
I wouldn't say she was there more than 12 months.
Mm-hmm. I was asking Pearl if she remembered if there was a lot of sort of work-related illness in the rag house and stuff, and she said no.
No.
But still, your mom's eczema probably would have been...
Well, that probably wasn't to do with the rag.
Mm.
But she had it, and therefore she couldn't work there very long because of it.
It was uncomfortable.
I wouldn't say it wouldn't cause for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't do it any good either.
So what did you do in the drying room, just to switch gears there?
We had the paper that came from the presses after they pressed it.
This is the wet?
wrap the wet paper, yes.
Okay.
And they came into what we call the drying room, and we used this
So this is after it came out of the gelatin size?
No, before that.
Oh, okay.
You know, when they made the paper, it went into wads or packs, whatever you call
right.
certain sizes, wasn't it?
Is the word wad and pack interchangeable, or was it?
No, it was called packs, let me put
yeah.
it in one word. And they'd press it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would come into us, still in the pack.
No, it's pressed overnight?
Yeah.
Much longer? That's what...
No, overnight usually, wouldn't it? Come up from the lattice on the one afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be what we called the dryer man. That handled the paper from then on.
Yeah.
They'd bring it up into a certain room with...
Mm-hmm. These are the standing screw presses or with the hydraulic?
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. And they put it in the presses. And then after a while, they turn the presses down. You know, once some of the water's come out,
mm-hmm.
they press it again. And then in the morning, they'd take them out and bring them into our room. And we'd have to sort of put it on the table like this. With
now, it'd be one big, huge, solid stack, or would it be separated in the bundles?
No, it'd be in the pack.
So how tall would the pack? Oh, each...
Each pack, you see, you'd have a pack about that high, wouldn't it? About 4 inches? A bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's like one post?
No.
A ream? Okay,
yeah.
So you have a pack, and then when they put them in these big presses, would there be boards between each pack or something?
Yes, a sink plate, wouldn't it?
Oh, okay.
Well, it was all stacked on a sink plate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they're between each pack. So in the standing press, it might be have a stack as tall as you,
oh,
but
yes.
it'd be lots of little,
yes,
lots of 4-inch.
About 10 packs in one press, wouldn't it?
Okay.
I'll say 10.
Yeah. That's good enough, yeah.
And they take them out, see, and bring them into us.
So they're like a solid brick, then?
That's right. Yes, they would be.
Yeah.
And we had to strip it off, and depending on the weight, you know, the thickness of the paper,
yeah.
as to whether you put it in 2 sheets or 1 sheet.
Now, did you sometimes strip them, keeping two together at the
That's
same
right,
time?
Yeah, a lot of it was too, wasn't it, in the dryer?
Yeah.
And how did you not make mistakes and get three by?
Oh well, if you did, you did. You know, I mean, that was it. Wouldn't come out dry. But I mean, that was you couldn't help that. It wasn't too much of a problem, if you know what I mean.
It was pretty easy to get two most of the time.
Yeah.
Were some people better at that job than others?
Oh yeah, wasn't it? You see, you'd have, suppose now it's a pack.
Yeah.
If I can put it back.
Yeah.
You turn it like that, would
they? Yeah, right, flip the corner. Spread it out, yeah.
Spread it out, and therefore you'd get your twos. And then you'd have your machine, and you'd put it in about three in a row, wouldn't it, mostly?
I see, yeah.
And there'd be somebody at the other end. It would go over about four cylinders.
Right.
Heated cylinders, in between felts. And come out the other end dry, and there'd be somebody stuck at the other end of that machine taking it
right.
out.
If you were looking at a fool's cap sheet, a pack, would you deal with it with it oriented long ways like you've got that in your
like
lap
that,
now?
And then it would go in that way.
And you'd always pick it out of the middle rather than going for a corner?
You'd go for a corner.
Okay, then how would you pick?
Because you'd have to fan it out.
Right.
You know, I'm not fanning that as much as I should. And then you take it like that and put it onto the machine like that with
uh-huh.
all the twos.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't say you kept it always full because sometimes it wasn't as easy to get it separated. But I mean, some was better than others, wasn't it?
Well, it depended on how hard it was.
Well, then how long you've been there working, wasn't it, really?
Oh, yeah.
You mean the longer you...
You were there, the better you got it.
Yeah,
And then I think I left when I was, after we were married, wasn't it? Married when we stood in the airport, and I went on working for about 12 months. And I had to expect them. So. And then when I went back sorting the paper.
And what did you do in the sorting room?
Well, you'd get... By then, the paper was almost complete.
Right.
Finished. It would come up in a pile like that.
In a pile?
Well, you know, feet. And you'd take it onto a bench.
So it wasn't separated at all? It was just one big...
Oh, it was all single then. Then it was single, but all in a pile.
Okay.
Like that, with that.
Yeah. Right.
And you put a... like that in front of you.
Yeah, put it out in front of you.
Yeah, just there, you know, so that you could manage. And
so
you'd have to sort it out into three different grades. That's the word I was talking about. It would be either good,
right,
a retrieve, which was the next one,
yeah,
or a throw, or an outside.
Right.
different pockets.
Now, outside, is that the same as outshot?
But really, sellable book, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have the outside, and then you throw some right out if they got big holes or something. You know what I mean.
I see. But at that point, there really shouldn't... What was the ratio of good to retrieve?
There is a hell of a lot. Pretty much, but not in my
mood. Well, don't record that. Yeah.
That's very good, isn't it?
Depended on your paper makers. You know,
yeah,
you
yeah,
made
it
and
very, very lot, I mean.
But what was sort of an average?
All those three grades you could usually sell at a different price.
Right.
You know, because your good would sell it, you know, one price, and then you'd have a retreat at another one. And then you'd have your outside, which was drops or
what's
whatever.
Drops?
Water drops.
Okay.
Drops.
What else made a outside shoot?
What a very badly cooked shoot.
Where they've got the
flip.
Yeah. Anything else?
Or perhaps a big wrinkle in it. You know, big wrinkle that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something like that. Now, with a retrieve shoot, if you've got just one little, what I call drop, it wasn't too bad, that would go in a retrieve.
That's a retrieve. So
And, you know, but if it got worse than that, then it would have to go to outside.
And how about a little speck of black?
Well, probably, if it wasn't too bad, it would go out retreat, wouldn't it? I mean, I suppose if you could clean it at all, then you'd get it in your good.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, you had your three, what I call your three grading.
So retreat was really a fairly good sheet.
Oh, yes, it was.
And did you have, and then...
I mean, this is where we found a bit difficult to come to terms with Wookiee Hole, really, wasn't it? Because we were still sorting from what I call commercial paper making, where it had to be good, otherwise it'd come back. Well, once you got to Wookiee Hole, and like you say now, some people don't want good sheets. Do you know what I'm trying to say, don't you? That
the standard
has relaxed, but we couldn't.
You were too trained to look at it.
Too trained to sort of try, you know.
Now, an interesting question for me is, Pearl and Tom seem to agree that perhaps Mr. Harrison's standards were too high.
You don't agree that his
standards were too high.
No, this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we were just trying to say to you. You know, probably because how we were trained.
Yeah.
We couldn't relax that standard. Now, maybe we're wrong. Well, I'm sure we're wrong on the day's working.
Yeah.
Isn't it, Phil? I'm positive we're in the wrong now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have thought with Mr. Harrison. I think a little bit of Mr. Harrison's problem was he didn't really know paper making.
Yeah.
And anybody that did, he didn't seem to want to know.
His father knew it inside out.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, don't you? And, one night.
What's that?
Well, where they beat them,
break
down the
pulp
into pulp, you know.
Yeah,
he had a sort of, what's that called, that place he built on? For bleaching.
Bleaching tanks.
Bleaching tanks or something. Mm. But from that bleaching tank, you had to carry them back to your... Beater block.
Oh,
it can be done. And he'd do it for half hour, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Well, the beaterman couldn't do that all day long. You know what I'm saying now?
They wore out,
Did they
have to do it anyway, or did they get laborers to do it?
I don't think he stopped it after the time. Didn't he somehow stop it? I don't think there would actually be quite a lot of problem at the time, but I don't think that was Kitty's husband, one of them. I don't think they ever... And then there's another instance, wasn't it, where you thought you could put a terrific amount of much more in your breaker than what you were able to put in. Oh, yes you can, he goes on. Anyway, they done what he said. Of course, the thing wouldn't go wrong, would it? So they had to take it all out again.
Yeah.
Really, they made him do it, huh?
But this is what the sort of thing I'm trying to say with him. You know, he thought he put it on a bit of paper. You know, like sometimes you put something down, it looks all right on paper, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Until you've actually got to work for
it. Okay, Cyril, I want to ask you, because in our last recording, I realized I didn't get information like, when were you born?
26, 11, 21.
So, what year? 1921. And Joyce, what year were you born?
1926.
1926, okay. Got that clear. And where were you born, Cyril?
Here in Tuckerman.
Were you?
Yeah.
In what which house?
Number 8 Orchard Terrace. That's the one that goes.
Number 8 Orchard Terrace. And Joyce, where were you born?
In Tuckerman. Yeah. And down at the bottom at, Millhouse, I think it's called. It's right down at the bottom. It's
did your family live there then?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got tractors and things down at the moment.
Oh, you were born in a tractor shed, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Very exotic.
Yeah, actually, there was an old corn mill, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, like beside it.
Corn mill, and that was working
for
years.
Oh, I see.
Mm.
All right.
It's changed over the years.
Oh, everything does, yeah. Mm. Now, then the next thing, Cyril, is, so your father was named, what was your father's name?
Albert.
Albert Finn?
Yeah.
And was he a papermaker?
Yeah.
And what work did he do in the mill?
Well, he was a vatman.
He was a vatman?
Yeah.
And which vat did he work? Number? Do you remember? You know?
No, I don't remember because I was only 4 years old when he died.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And so, then your mother was, what was your mother's name?
Annie.
Annie, and do you know what her her surname was?
McGuire.
McGuire. Okay, was she from Tuckanay?
No, she came from Ireland.
She came from Ireland?
Yeah.
And how'd she end up in Tuckanay?
Her first husband died. That was Kick's father, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
So Annie McGuire's first husband was a Cox?
No. Richardson.
Mm. Richardson, yeah.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I know it is. Really.
But anyway, so
they come for paper making in Maidstone, weren't they?
They were married in Maidstone and they moved here?
That's right. They,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
When
it's a bit confusing because
there's
two or three families. But, I mean, how they come here, she came from Ireland with Mr. Richardson, didn't she?
Yeah.
And lived in what we in
Maidstone.
And then he died, didn't he?
Yeah.
And she married Mr. Finn.
All right.
And they come to Tuckanay.
Because
she was married to Mr. Finn when she came to Tuckanay.
And
because
Millbourne had a lot of papermakers come down here, brought a whole lot of different papermakers in.
Yeah.
So is the Finn family a big, was there a lot of Finn papermakers in Maidstone? Do you know?
Yes, there was several there, actually.
And they were friends of the Coxes? And
yes.
Mm. Or somehow you're related to the Coxes, somehow?
No, not so well.
No?
Oh, wait a minute. Kitty's husband was a Cox.
Yeah?
So it's...
Through
marriage. Oh, I see. Through marriage.
Yeah.
Did you have more brothers and sisters than Kitty?
It was Kitty Wynn.
Mm-hmm. Wynn? Or Gwynn?
Wynn.
Yeah. W-Y-N?
Yeah.
Winnie.
Oh, Winifred.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Winifred, sorry.
That's okay. Couldn't figure out if the man or a woman.
And it was,
Albert himself.
Albert?
Yeah.
Okay, is he older or younger?
Younger, 2 years younger.
And did he work in the paper mill?
Yeah.
And what did he work at?
He left paper making in his 50s
or something. Yeah. He left paper making early because war broke out and he put his age on and joined the Navy.
Yeah, but that's going on longer than that. I mean, he didn't finish his work.
Now, let's see, so, did you go to school here?
At Cornworthy, yeah.
In Cornworthy, until 14?
No, I left there when I was about 12 and went to the Catholic school in Totnes.
Oh. And then, when did you finish that, at 14?
At 14, yeah.
Yeah. And then you started working in the mill?
Started working in the mill, yeah. I went right in as an apprentice, actually. Left school on his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't been in Catholic school, I wouldn't have been able to have gone on until the Christmas break left, you know.
I see.
And, of course, I went apprentice right away.
Now, what's it mean, you went apprentice? Did some people start and not be apprentices?
Yes, you had to wait for a vacancy. You were allowed one apprentice to each vat that you had working.
I see. And so you were apprenticed to a certain vat number?
No, you were apprenticed to the old trade,
mm-hmm.
but if you had 4 vats working, you could have 4 apprentices.
I see.
Apprentices, until the eldest came into his last year, once the eldest came into his last year, they'd be able to take on another one.
I see. So, and the apprenticeship at that time lasted 7 years?
Well, originally 7, but when war broke out, it was cut down to 5.
Right, okay. So, when you started your apprenticeship, there were 4 other guys that were apprentices at the same time?
3 others.
3 others, right.
Yeah, because there was only 4 back.
And what did you do then? How did they start you out?
Well, the first job was always in the beater floor, where you'd be picking out objects, colored cotton.
And how much of your time did that take up? Did you do that all day?
Oh, 12-hour day.
You just 12 hours you'd be standing by the beater picking out colored bits?
Apart from your break, meal breaks, hour and a half meal break. Yeah.
So that's pretty tedious work.
Yeah.
Was it social?
5 days a week. On Saturdays, 6 days, you'd work from 6 in the morning till 12.
And did you do anything else besides pick out fibers? In your first year?
Well, it depended how you got,
Well, what can you remember? What else did you do? What else did they call on you to do?
Well, after I'd been there, I hadn't been there very long before I was moved down to the bat house when I actually made the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go helping on the bigger sorts, you'd be what they called an upper end boy.
And what
was helping to pitch a felt down onto the...
And how would that work? The coocher would... Tell me how that would work, if you can.
Well, the coocher put his sheet on the felt and on down onto the felt, and on the bottom, so far up, you have to squeeze and gradually ease.
So you'd push onto the mold. You'd push your hands onto the mold.
Doing it with the coocher, right? You'd have to be right in time with that.
So he'd pretty much control it, and you'd just add the extra ends of the sheet of transfer.
Right, to keep the ends up as well, tuck your felt in.
So you'd be in charge of keeping your ends up, means tucking the felt in.
Yeah.
So that would be your job there up on the back end of the mold. And when he threw the felt out, would you catch it and drop it down?
No, you'd, because you'd only be on the long, very long molds, right?
Yeah.
And you'd both pull together, take it together.
Oh, you'd both pick up a felt and set it down together.
Yeah.
Now, how did the coocher always know exactly where to line the mold up? I mean, there's no marks on the felt or anything, could it?
After you've done a couple of pulls, you could see fur from the deco fur on the edge, and you'd have to put it exactly the same place each time, otherwise you'd get the deco, little bits of...
Yeah. Deco. So you'd aim for wherever the sheet was before. What if the guy sort of cooched off too far? I mean, back and forth.
Well, it'd be sacked. You had to get it dead accurate, if you didn't get it dead accurate, you'd be picking up the fur from your, from the deco.
Now, do you remember men actually getting sacked or being asked not to be coochers anymore because they couldn't do that right, or is that didn't ever happen?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You were trained, and trainees and goodness knows what.
Okay. I was interested too. What else did an upper end boy do? Did you?
Well, you were there all the time, just doing that.
All 12 hours. Now, did they make you do any of the other dirty work that they didn't want to do?
Not once you were in the fence.
No. Can you remember? Like, did you have to clean out the slots and the knotters, or?
Oh well, that was a layer's job.
The layer's job.
Yes.
No, it was a layer. A layer...
He was separating the layer. He was separating the sheets from the felts and then throwing the felts back for reuse.
So is the layer... Has he completed his apprenticeship, or is that an...
Well, he may have. I mean,
Or would you... Did you do that later, after you were an upper end boy?
Yeah. It's all part of your training, that was. Yeah, it was after about 12 months I was laying.
So how long were you in the beater room, you think?
Well, actually, I wasn't there very long. On the upper end.
On an average, how long do you think an apprentice might have spent?
I mean, about 6 months at the most.
that's if he wasn't, you know, the project. Now, if they didn't have enough apprentices, would they just get some regular laborers to come in and watch the beaters? Pick things out of the beaters?
Well, no, because you always have kept your apprentices, you know, had your apprentices. Because once an apprentice came into his last year, they take on another one in his place.
It seems like if you were only in there 6 months picking out fibers, that they sort of would have run short of other people to do it. But
Can I come in?
Yeah, please, come in.
This is what they give these boys to do, but don't you remember they have that bench where somebody with a laser was there looking over the swirl?
Yeah.
I mean, this was just training for these boys.
But they had a laborer, that was his whole job.
Yeah. In the beater floor, you know.
Before it went into the beater.
This was just training for these boys. You know, more than, you know, they were doing a job of training.
And so there was somebody whose whole job was picking fibers out of the beater.
Yeah,
good, that's
there
what I...
There shouldn't have been any gone through, but I mean, they found it.
They're all good,
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
That's why I come in. But, you see this is why I say that we've grown up fussy, because this was their first training.
Yeah.
To make sure it was clean and light. You didn't understand, you know. This is where it started.
Yeah, I see that.
And this was a habit all your years. At least bit of stuff in the paper, how did that become?
Even now, if I go through a paper, you see a piece of colored.
So were upper end boys always apprentices, or was there a laborer that was an upper end boy?
You know, if you didn't have enough apprentices, then laborer would come down and check.
And then after you've learned after you've learned that particular upper end job, then you did laying, which is and were there any particular tricks to that that job? Did they always want you to keep? What were the particular?
Well, you know, you got to keep everything dead straight.
Is that?
Yeah.
Did you use guides or not?
No. Patient.
And. Tell me about changing out, how that worked, because I know that's part of... that's sort of how you got into making paper, right? Cause
well, how we ever got to it, I can't really say. But, you know, when we were washing up, you know, everything had to be cleaned up so many times, or if you were changing sorts and that. And, of course, when the paper makers were out of the way, we used to go and have a little dip on our own, like, you know, try on our own.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we learn.
Yeah, you want to say?
But is this what you meant, Peter? Or, I mean, you had a change out other than that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. How they ever expected you to be able to change out, I don't know, because you wasn't allowed to touch a mold or anything when they were there. But when you washed up, and they'd gone off after they'd done
that.
There.
But this is not Peter Mann.
Did you apprentice to one like that number three, or I knew you were?
No, you apprenticed to all the lot.
So there wasn't one. Okay, was there one group you worked with mostly as an apprentice, or did you change out with all the different four baths?
Wherever you were wanted, like.
I see.
There was two of the four baths were never on. You know, big paper, so you didn't need another ender on that.
Uh-huh. And so how did that affect things on those vats that didn't need the upper ender?
Well, it wouldn't affect them at all.
Mm. Okay. Let's switch gears here, because I want you to explain the system of changing out. You'd work three, when you were working your vat, it was, you were one person of a crew. Think of sort of the earliest rather than later on, but you were one, and who was your was the other coocher, and who was the layer in your team?
Well, you had a batman, coocher, and a layer, and I mean.
And right when you worked, I think what you were saying was Ron Eden and Jeff, and who were the guys that were sort of in your. Jimmy Ingston.
What the hell?
Why I was talking about this is I want to see. So if you When did you start your day working?
6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, and so at 6 o'clock, what would you have to do? Would your bat be ready to go?
Yes, oh yes. It's on piece work.
Yeah.
You have to start 8 on time.
Okay.
If you were there a bit early, you start a bit early.
So you'd start making your sheets. You'd work at the vat. And
yeah.
how many sheets would you make before a break or before, how would you work? If you could do that? Just roughly, you don't have to be.
Roughly before breakfast, which was half 8, you'd probably do about 6 or 7 posts.
So, I think what Peter's trying to find out is, and which you don't, how did you decide when you changed out? How much did you do before you changed out?
Well, you probably do about 3 posts and then...
Was there a certain amount or not?
No. It depended on what you change out to do. I mean, if there's only an apprentice changer there, you know, just started doing it, you'd only do a few sheets while you had a smoke.
Oh, I see. So after breakfast was 8:30, and you would have made 2 or 3 posts of something by then.
You've made about 5 or 6 posts today.
By breakfast time?
By breakfast time, yeah.
And the post had 100-something sheets in it?
Yeah, that was a single. It didn't matter what it was. Single or double. I mean, if you're double push, you had double the amount.
Right, okay. So, and would you have changed jobs at all, or would you have always been in the vat and your brother always cooching?
Yes, mainly.
Okay. And then after breakfast, you'd go back and you'd still work at the vat and your brother would still cooch. You'd never switch jobs off?
No, once you had a batman, a coocher, and a layer, that was their jobs and, you know, nobody else apart from your change-out.
Now, so why did you have a change-out?
Well, just for a break.
Just for a short break.
The batman would do his pressing while he was pressing. He'd have his smoke or whatever, his cup of tea or whatever. And then after that, he'd go on and lay off, do the layer's job. And when he finished, the faster you'd done it, the more break you'd have after.
So after you'd finished your break and the layer was laying all the time, you'd go and relieve the layer for a while. Is that, so you go do a bit of laying so he could take a little break and then you'd all go back into it again?
Well, no, the layer wouldn't need a break because he'd have a break at the, whether he laid off, he'd have a break in every post. So.
I see. So why?
So if the layer was doing your job for one, what we call a lump.
Same as a post? A lump?
Well, a bit more than a post.
Mm-hmm.
You should do a few extra so as to
right.
Save time.
I think this changed it, Peter. Wasn't anything official.
No.
It was just to give the batman a break.
Batman a break.
And that was it sort of gave apprentice a chance to do something, maybe.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, that's where you learn.
I see. Mm. Now, for some reason, I was under the impression that the coochers and the batmen sometimes interchanged their jobs, sort of switched around.
Well, they would if they get old, just for a break.
Just because you might get tired of the same job, so halfway through the day you might shift?
But it wasn't very often.
I was going to say no, because a lot of the creatures couldn't make.
No.
You know, they were creatures that were against Batman, you know what
I mean? Yeah, I see what you're saying. Did you prefer cooching or working at the vat?
I preferred working at the vat.
You did?
Yeah.
I can't remember who somebody was saying that they just preferred cooching, they liked that job better.
Well, his brother did,
didn't he?
Less bending over or something, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. The batman's job definitely was the hardest?
Yeah.
I suppose you think about it, there's more skill in that, Peter, isn't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, but you certainly wouldn't want to have a skilled coocher, so they wouldn't ruin all your good sheep.
Oh, he's got to be skilled. Yeah. Oh, coocher can ruin the sheep as
easy as a batman.
Can ruin them just as well, can he?
Yeah.
I mean, most of us would learn to do both, you know, that and the picture.
You think of it
and then that gave you, you know, chance to change around, during your working time, give you a break for a lump, or, you know, one post.
And that's I guess it's nice to have a break every once in a while because you get worn out 12-hour day.
If you think about it, Peter, look at that one. It's not only the actual sort of sheet of the weight.
The heat was what bothered you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heat, you know, steam rising from the back. That's if you were making thick paper. If you were making thin paper, well, wouldn't have any heat on or very little.
The other thing I want to know about is if you had if you can remember traveling paper makers coming to work at Tuck and Hay when you were working.
No, that had
died out.
More or less died out by that time I started.
They were still moving around, weren't they? People were still coming here from Walkie Hole and going to Walkie Hole, but not, as you call them, traveling.
I see. So if somebody came down here from Walkie Hole, would they work a year or something like that?
Well, it just depends how they got on. You know, I mean, if they liked it, they'd stay, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, they'd work a few years and go back. I mean, there was at least this Mr. Glamble that you talked to.
He only went.
And there was Sid Capon, he came and went, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was two or three, and there was another one after that, they thought. But there was two or three that actually came here from Walking Hole but didn't settle.
Mm-hmm.
So they went away again.
Billy Boyce, he came down
here.
Billy Boyce?
Settled here. He died here, you know.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it depended whether they
settled.
Whether
they liked it or not.
Whether they liked being here.
Mm-hmm. Dolph Cox came down.
Dolph Cox, yes, they mentioned him yesterday.
So...
Okay.
I mean, years ago they used to tell what they call go on the road.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Peter asked, if you could remember, the travellers.
But...
They didn't
do it in your time, did they?
Not in my time, no. But they used to come from, walk from one mill to another, and, you know, they'd have to give them a day's work or a day's pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd go on to the next one, work down through the country.
Peter, I can always remember when we went into liquidation here. And you'd look for work one way and another. Anyway, that's, you know, not important. But he ran Walkie Hole, and they said, "Oh, if you haven't got a job here, we'll make one."
Mm.
So they were scarce down at that time, weren't they?
Yeah.
Joe started his apprenticeship. I mean, they'd have lived this long, waiting to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years went on, you couldn't get one.
Yeah, couldn't get a paper maker.
No, they were.
Or an apprentice, yeah.
No.
They weren't going to work too hard, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I think what happened, they started taking trainees on.
Yeah.
And they called them trainees, and therefore they'd only do perhaps 6 months, and they'd be a paper maker.
Yeah.
And that's when I think some of the problems
Well, that's
are.
When it was. Pieces.
Because they weren't paid for what the papers like.
Yeah.
And then they just had to do a job, and, you know. And no kidding, you've got to be interested in it to do it properly,
yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
If you aren't, you just scuff it over it and easy, well, like you say, spoil the paper, don't you?
How much broke was produced?
If you had more than 5%, you wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, huh?
Yeah.
And then that...
the average, I suppose, was like 2.
2% of the paper was broke.
Yeah.
And but it seems like you need a lot of...
It mightn't be so much as that.
But they needed it for making the paper because a lot of the Flanois had, most beaterloads seemed to have some percent of broke in them.
Yeah, well, that would be, what had gone all through, and then it would be taken back and boiled to get the size out and then put in from there.
So the paper makers were pretty good in their making. They didn't produce too much.
Well, if you did, you didn't last.
Because nobody wants you in their vat?
No.
No, I mean, if there was too much bad paper, if you had done an order, and it comes through with too much broke, as you say, you'd soon be up on the office, wanting the one.
Somebody call you up to the office, then.
Get addressed and known, and if you don't improve,
get addressed and
you're out.
Yeah.
And what?
If you don't improve, you're out.
Yeah. So did that happen often?
Not very often.
No, because people pretty much needed their jobs.
Probably in latter years, when they started bringing trainees in.
But I can't remember anybody ever sacked for it.
No.
What did people get sacked for?
Well, bad timing or...
No.
Yeah, Yeah.
Not coming to work on time, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your crew wouldn't put up with that anyway.
No. I can't, you know, quite honestly, I can't remember anybody actually getting
no,
started.
No, I can't.
I mean, it seemed your brother, his brother, and this kid came home, they got dissatisfied with you and left.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't back, were they?
No,
I don't
no.
Who was the other guy you said?
Well,
Sid Capon. And your brother's name is
Albert.
Or Albert, yeah. Okay.
I just said they left because...
The next question that I had was about Phelps. And mostly let's talk about the older Phelps rather than the problems at Wookiee Hole. But did you have... You had a different size felt for each size of paper?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a big roll, you buy it in big rolls and then cut it to whatever size, different sizes of the sheets.
And how long would a felt last?
Six years.
Pretty long time then.
Yeah. Because they were specially made anyway, like, you know.
Yeah. And would, do you use older felts for certain jobs and newer felts for other jobs, or how did...
Well, if you were on a very thin paper, you'd have to have old felts.
Uh-huh.
You know,
why would you have...
They were kept back separate so that you could use them if you were on a very thin paper.
And why is that? What?
Well, because there wasn't any nap on them.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, it'd come off easier.
Mm-hmm.
Come off the mold easier when you were pitching.
Did you have thicker felts for thicker sorts, or did you just double the felts up, or what? How did you deal with that?
Well, if you were on a thick paper, you had reasonably new felts, fairly thick. But if you're on a thin paper, well then,
so it's always the same
older felts. Right?
So it's always the same felt. They didn't have. Did they have coarser felts and finer felts, or was it all just one felt that you said?
What did we do for that?
As far as
I think we used older felts.
You just didn't press it again.
Not afterwards.
No.
Okay, now this is the next question here. When we're talking, it's on page 11 of my text. It's talking about a rough grain paper, and you say you don't press it at all. Well, let's start. So you'd form the sheet in the vat, cooch it.
And you'd have your wet press, of course.
Yeah.
So that you could handle it. And then it wouldn't go in the dryer presses.
It
goes straight onto the dryer.
And so did you ever get pieces like that to feed into the dryer when you were working in the dryer room?
Yeah, the dryer.
And you just ran it straight through the dryer?
Yeah.
One sheet at a time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would it come out pretty flat, or would it come out sort of cockly?
Oh, you'd have to get it flat somehow.
Yeah. You tighten your felts on your dryer when you do.
You like to get it.
According
to
what you were making.
Mm.
Did you ever have trouble with sheets that you just couldn't get them flat?
Oh, yeah.
And what would you do when you couldn't get a sheet flat?
Well, you had to sort of. Some of the rough grain, we had two dryers.
Mm-hmm.
One had the three cylinders for what I call the ordinary type cup.
Yeah.
And the other one had just one cylinder that you'd let go through very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And that would automatically bring it out dry.
Would you ever have to...
We didn't have the problem with the thicker, as you did the thin.
The really thin would topple up?
As against the thick would come out, you know, so.
Now, do you remember at all whether the beater formulas varied for a thicker paper and a thinner paper? I mean, whether it was one more wet and one more dry?
The thin papers have to be wet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to beat it longer. And with the thicker papers, it wouldn't be beaten so long, so that your pulp wasn't too wet.
And so that explains why the thinner papers cockled more.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yes, the thin papers, you had a lot more problem with the wrinkles in the edge than the thicker one.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever get... See, this is sort of a different question, but the pulp that came down from the beaters, did it ever not work for the paper you were supposed to be making?
Not very often, because your beater men were experts at that job anyway, so, you know, occasionally you get a bad one.
And what would happen if you got a bad batch?
You'd have to just
carry on and
the best she could.
Best she could.
And Peter, though, you know, there was two beaten men, and one used to beat it much better than the other.
Oh yeah, that's what they were saying, that Sam was really a very good beater.
Yeah.
Whoever the other fellow was,
yeah.
they
brother.
Yeah.
Which is his brother? Which one?
Yeah. The other one, Leonard.
Len, right?
Yeah. This one, Sam's, it always worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
The other would work, but it wouldn't work the same as Sam.
Well, like,
now, what's it mean when it wouldn't work so well? You'd have trouble doing what?
Well, coaching or making it. And then you get it, you know, coughing them out of.
So you might notice it more than in the formation, maybe afterwards it might cause more trouble? And then.
I can't really explain it, but I suppose perhaps one would bring it, if you were making a certain type, would bring it down too wet. You'd have to work harder to get your sheet, you know?
Harder to get your sheet, meaning warm it?
Yeah.
Harder to get the water out of your sheet.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then when you cooch it, it might squish, squirt, whatever you call that, more, or crush it. Is that what you call it?
But I've heard Phil come on very often that he's had to work it down quite harder to make the paper, because Leonard just dropped down a beater sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It did make a difference.
Well, you could tell when you were working which beaterman had done it.
You really could.
Yeah. You know, after you had experience. So.
I was going again, So, after those rough pieces of paper went through the dryer, the person who took them out, was it usually a couple more women working on the back end of the dryer?
Yeah.
And what would they do with them?
Well, they took them into a pile.
And how tall was the pile?
Oh, well, you know, you suppose it as high as you could.
Yeah,
you know, you put them in front of you.
Yeah.
To